Join Tim and Christina Madden, co-founders of Executive Career Upgrades, on their podcast, The Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. As an executive in today's highly competitive job market, it can be tough to succeed. However, with Tim's nationally recognized career advice and Christina's mindset expertise, you can reach your full potential. Tune in to upgrade your career and get ahead of the competition.
Welcome to the Executive Career Upgrades Podcast. Hey, to start off with the fun fact, I don't even know if Christina knows this, but you hear the intro every time you watch our podcast. If you don't know, that was a very well-known DJ in Dallas for 20 years. So I think of that every time it plays. So hey, if you don't know us, we are Tim and Christina Madden. We help directors, VPs, and executives get the job, keep the job, and be successful at the job in 2024. And it's crazy, because so much stuff has changed over the past couple of years. So we're super excited for you to join us today, because we have an excellent topic for you. As always, a shameless plug to get us started. Leave us a review over on Apple. Whether you're watching live or on Spotify, it is one of our goals this year to be a top 100 podcast. And the way they do that is through reviews. So please go and leave us a five-star review if we give you any value today. And I absolutely know we will. Huge win for individuals in the ECU program for their career. Can you believe, Christina, we have been responsible for helping generate over 1,300 multiple six-figure interviews this year?
I know, it's wild. And we're only halfway done.
So hey, we had 14 offers come in for the clients last week. Congrats to those who accepted 8 this week. Had someone get an 80K increase as well. So hey, huge congrats if you are in one of our, or you are in our career program. And as always, hey, so let's get it kicked off. If you need help,
and big thank you, big thank you to the, I don't know, 120 of you that showed up to the Executive Mindset Necessities Workshop. I know the people that attended there are also huge ECU podcast fans, so I know they are tuning in. So special thank you to you guys and making that event really just a one of a kind. It was a 3-hour event yesterday, and I just couldn't have had more fun supporting you guys in your mindset breakthrough, so you can, you know, achieve all of your goals and pursue your personal, professional, and financial goals within your career and life. You guys have a soft place in my heart, special place in my heart. I had a great time yesterday.
Thanks, Christina. Hey, and lastly, as always, hey, if you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast, schedule a free career consultation. So today we got a very exciting topic, So how do we make decision makers see you as a right fit? Episode 139, how to make them see you as a right fit. Wow. People overcomplicate this so much, Christina. They overcomplicate it so much. Why do you think that is? Do you have any idea?
Why do I think they overcomplicate it?
Yeah, like...
Well, it's just like what we talked about in the mindset clinic yesterday. It's an overthinkingness. It's an overthinking, which we looked up the definition of overthinking yesterday, and it was something that will literally destroy. I'm not going to try to state the full definition, but overthinking is defined as a vicious cycle, a way of thinking that will destroy your goals and achievements and impact your life and your mental health. I mean, it's pretty serious, right? So when we're, did you pull up the definition?
The word track I like in it, it's the process of repetitive negative thinking. Like, how horrible is that? A lot of people, I'm overthinking. When if they shifted and said, hey, it's the process of like thinking negatively over and over, it might shift your perspective a little bit.
Before we even get into the training on this that you're going to take us through, the top three things that come to mind, like let's just say I didn't own this company and I'm just somebody you're talking to, and you know, over the years, always getting the jobs that I want and always achieving the goals that I want. The three things that I know to be true about getting decision makers' attention on you and getting decision makers to meet with you and hire you is your ability to communicate your value proposition and align it with the company's culture and values and their needs. So being able to sell your solutions to their problems, that's number one. And number two is your relentless ability to follow up with these people without being scared that you're annoying them. You have to be willing to put yourself out there and follow up and follow up and follow up. So what's your value proposition? Can you communicate it clearly? And are you willing to follow up with these people?
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, I just want to let you know when you're typing, that keyboard is very loud coming through on the podcast.
All right. Sorry. I do apologize. I won't type anymore. I actually, you were putting out some good stuff. So I wanted to make sure I took a note, because one of the things we talked about on the mindset, you know, workshop yesterday with all those individuals is, and I hope you take this. So, hey, if you're taking notes, here's like note number one as we're diving in. If you're worried about being foolish or embarrassed, right? So write down, hey, if I'm really worried about looking foolish or embarrassed, Christina's talking about following up with people, right? You're never going to be great. You will never be great. You know, one of the reasons I think we've had a decent amount of success is we've read a lot of the books of all the successful people who had to look foolish and embarrassed a million times. So we're like, oh, this is just a part of the process, right? Your phone's really loud too, Christina, if you could turn that off. So, you know, it's one of the things where, right, if you're worried about looking foolish, you're never gonna look great. So that's really tip number one, right? The problem is this for most professionals as we dive into this. Everyone is, you know, you're a sales leader, you're a finance leader, you're a tech leader, you're a product leader, you're a leader of something inside your domain. But when it comes to, okay, when it comes to getting your next position and doing these things I'm about to tell you, this has nothing to do with what you specialize in. That's the frustrating part. Does that make sense? That's the frustrating part. Hey, you're a seasoned financial leader. This is totally different. So the first mistake that everyone makes that I want to drill home, and I have on multiple videos, so I'm going to do it again, right? And we will absolutely get to how much we should follow up after the final interview. We'll definitely get to that in a second. Thanks for joining us. You have to understand the company's needs. You have to understand the company's needs, because here's why. If you don't understand the company's needs, you can't even follow up. Going to show why here in a second, right? You're not even able to follow. Okay, sorry. So when we get into this, hold on one second. Sorry. So understanding the company's needs. A lot of people, when they follow up, is like, hey, I'm just following up, right? Right? But the only way we're supposed to follow up over the interview is making sure, what did we talk about? What are they really looking for? So many people go on the interview and, you know, you're not asking the vital question, which is, you know, what we teach is, hey, I read the 10-page job description, but what are you really looking for? Right? What are you really looking for? Hey, what are the top three priorities, right, that you feel this person needs to be successful? That's typically always how you want to follow up. And we'll get to that in a moment. But most people don't take the time to actually say, what are you trying to accomplish here? Or number two, what are the pain points? What are the challenges? What are the opportunities? So the first thing you really need to understand is, if you go on an interview and you don't ask them what they're looking for, which could be totally different than their job description, because it could have been written by HR or copied from Indeed, right, for another position. If you don't ask them what they're looking for, and you don't ask them what their pain points, opportunities, and challenges are, you're going to get beat out of that interview more times than not. So how do I get Christina to see me as a good fit? Number one, I need to know what is on Christina's mind for this position. And number two, what are Christina's challenges? Because if I don't know what Christina's thinking up here that she needs, and number two, what Christina's challenges are, How is she going to be able to see me as a good fit? Does that make sense? So make sure most people rely on job descriptions, or they go on the interview and they're like, I'm going to try to answer all their best questions. This is the only reason you're on the interview. So figure out, ask however you want. What are they looking for? What are their challenges? Where's the opportunity? You have to do that, or they're never going to see you as the right fit. Anything you want to comment on, Christina?
Well, if you don't have any of that information, though, then what, right? It's like, you have to be willing to then understand how to ask clarifying questions and dig deeper and go deeper to get the information that you need. That's all that it is. So let's play that out. It's like, okay,
Hey, Christina, I got one. I'm okay. Just, you're the hiring manager because you've hired, you know, a lot of people. Hey, Christina, I see you're looking for a advisor, right, to help executives get hired. I read the job description, but can you tell me, hey, what are you really looking for? One thing?
Yeah, what I'm really looking for is somebody that's passionate about helping corporate leaders use their careers as a vehicle to reach their personal, professional, and financial goals. And I'm looking for people that are optimistic and want to be around great leaders. And now this is where we're getting into the core value part of it quite a bit. And somebody with experience on helping people have massive breakthroughs in their professional lives from a coaching standpoint. So that's what we're looking for in an advisor. But so beyond that, I also need you to be able to integrate with our technology systems and be a team player and be pretty diverse and dynamic.
So this is what's going to happen. Christina unloaded like 6 things on me, right? There's probably more as well.
Yeah, so
that's just a little taste. But when you do that, as a interviewee, right? How am I supposed to remember everything Christina said? So number one, hey, my tip number two, it's not on our tip sheet today, is make sure you take notes during an interview. Hey, what are you looking for? Bing, 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 bing. Okay. You need to be able to write them all down and handle each one, right? Which we'll get into. But as they're sharing what they're looking for, as she's sharing the pain points, the opportunities of the position, you need to be taking notes. You're not going to be able to retain 10 to 12 things. And then number two that we're going into is, how can I align my skills and experience? How can I highlight my relevant experience, right? Showcasing my past accomplishments that are directly related to what Christina just said she needed, okay? And how can I provide examples, decision-making ability, how I've driven success, okay? This is the number one thing you need to do in an interview. If you don't do this, it's going to be very difficult for you to get hired. So let me recap. You ask someone what they're looking for. You ask someone what their challenges are. You take notes. And then you tell them how you can help them with those opportunities, overcome some of the challenges, and how we are what they're looking for. Christina's right. We're not going to dive into clarifying questions, but that's really important too. Because sometimes people might say things like, you know, Christina, we're just looking for a really great leader. What does that mean, right?
So many different things to different people. Okay, so what does that mean to you, and what does that look like inside this organization and in this role? What does being a good leader mean?
Exactly. Most people go on interviews, ask questions, and then leave that interview, hoping and praying that they're going to get hired. So make sure, okay, we're understanding first the company or the department's needs, okay? And then number two, we're aligning our skills and experiences, because then it gets very logically it's very logical. That's what I always try to think about interviews of, like, if Christina tells me what she's looking for, what the challenges are, and I logically can tell her I've overcame them and I am what she's looking for, doesn't it logically make sense to move to the next step? It does. If I'm not able to do that and don't ask that questions, does it make sense? It really doesn't. Okay. So how can we showcase, right, our unique value proposition? So we need to make sure we can clearly articulate what makes us unique and our unique skills and experiences and how that's going to benefit the company. And while we're aligning our skills and experience, and I'm speaking back to Christina on why I am a good fit, I want to use metrics and concrete evidence or results. Okay. Now, most of the time, right, this is probably going to take some practice. That's what I really like, because when people join our program, they go through, they work with our writers and the clarity advisors. So it's really nice that we already have like all their stats, right, of like how they've grown companies or how they've reduced turnover. And Katie and the team put it together very nice. So then it's like, hey, if they ever ask that question, we kind of have it written out, right? Because it's really hard too to think back over your career for 20 years. How are you going to, it's hard to remember stuff.
Especially when you're already nervous, you know.
Exactly.
Then that goes into the whole mindset piece going into this, right? So being able to control your nervousness as well, so you can handle the curveballs that might come up during these conversations.
Absolutely.
But I was thinking before we, you know, really went into this topic is like, how do you get and keep the decision makers' attention long enough to even get them on the freaking phone, you know, to get them in an interview? Like that's what I see to be the first barrier. That's what I'm saying about having like the relentless mindset of follow-up and using automated systems to get the attention of decision makers. There was somebody in our environment the other day. I don't want to go too much into detail, but they actually had a phone call scheduled with the CEO of Crate and Barrel. Do you guys know? Do you know what Crate and Barrel is?
I don't, but I'm guessing it's very big, but you might be.
You can think of it like Bath and Body Works or like Pottery Barn. Like it's a huge company. And they just weren't prepared. And like the mindset just wasn't there. The excitement wasn't there. And I was just kind of blown away by that. And so we have to be careful about this stuff, guys. Like if you get in self-doubt and you're, you know, not fully confident going into such a huge mega opportunity, it's going to be difficult to stay regulated enough to be able to ask the questions that Tim is talking about.
Well, and that comes with building you've talked about how do we even get in front of those people, right? We have to have a strong personal brand. You have to get known. That's everyone's problem right now who's in a career search. We say this frequently. Not enough people know you. If enough people know who you were and how great your skills were and all of the accomplishments you've had, you probably wouldn't go without purposeful work, because let's all agree, hey, companies are looking to hire good people with good results, right? But if you're not branded effectively, it's hard for them to find you. That's why we recommend our clients, hey, get known on LinkedIn. Did you know there's 300 or 360 million people on LinkedIn? Millions of daily active users, less than 2% of people even post on LinkedIn. So as we use automated systems to connect with whoever would likely hire you, right? We tell people to post about whatever their domain is. It's easy when you've been in sales for 20 years. You think everything you know is easy. It's not easy. It took you 20 years to learn it. There's CEOs out there right now that are banging their heads against a wall because they can't solve a challenge. And it could just be you using, you know, some type of system, right, to get in front of people and create some, you know, how you overcame it. So most people don't have a personal brand. They're not branded effectively. They don't even have a professional profile picture on LinkedIn, which is a professional business networking platform, right? So you have to maintain a professional online presence through LinkedIn's and your other profiles, right? And share insights and thought leadership and content that showcases your expertise. Otherwise, how can a person see you as a good fit? You know, when we post positions for some executive roles we have, that's the first thing we look at. Do they have a professional LinkedIn? Is this someone I want on my executive team? Is this someone I want to put in front of the thousands of directors, VPs, and executives we work for? And if you don't know, we take that very seriously.
Yeah. And then the number one rule of success,
showing up. To show up. Now, following up, here's what I say. I'm an ethical person. I'm a logical person, right? So I'm going to follow up because I know it's 2024 and people are so busy. Freaking TikTok. They stole everyone's attention, right? So people are so busy, right? So follow up creatively, right? We like to use the term, Lizzie, professionally persistent. So every situation's different. So I would say, but if me and Christina, well, number one, before you leave an interview, we teach always have another meeting scheduled, right? Always get that next step, lock down those next steps. But say I was unable to lock down a next step with Christina. Hopefully I've at least set something to where we're going to touch base or something. And like, if Christina said it's going to be 3 days, I'll wait 3 days and then I will follow up. I probably follow up every day, probably. And what do we see? What do we see from the people who are following up? Remember, if you think you're going to look foolish or embarrassed, you're never going to be great, right? Like, I'm following up with Christina because I know I can help her. I know I can help her business. I know I can help her business unit. She shared all of the struggles. She shared how she's losing money. She shared, hey, I have an ethical obligation. I know I can help them, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to follow up every day. But how are you going to follow up? Day one, Christina, you mentioned that you're losing on average $40,000 a month on Facebook advertising. Hey, and we had talked about some ways I can help you mitigate that, right? Hey, does Friday at this time work good? Day two, hey, I know your cost per lead is at $92. I'm just making this up, right? Your cost per lead is astronomical. I've shown you ways on da 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 da. See how that's how I'm following up. I'm providing value and I'm reminding Christina, right? Or maybe you, hey, I know you have that key client, Christina, for the new recruitment department that's kicking off on 8/1, and you said you didn't really have a process in place and this was a big priority. Hey, just following up. Did things change? Question mark. This is how you have to follow up, right? I'm not being an annoyance to Christina. I'm reminding her of what she's looking for, how it's going to drive the business, and how it's impacting the business. And I should remind her every day. Because if you're a part of if you're a director, VP, and executive, what are you going to remind whenever you get in there? You're going to tell your boss one time about some issue that's unresolved, that's like dire? No. Right? You'll be like, hey, we need to get this solved. So that's the way that I would follow up. But you're right. Hey, if you're just following up saying, hey, Christina, how are you? It's been the weekend. I'm just following up. How's everything going? No. Christina, you're losing $40,000 a month because your advertising's right hasn't been as effective as you wanted.
The verbiage of I'm just following up, you probably should just take that out of your vocabulary. Like, I saw a sales training the other day, especially if you're in sales. I'm just following up. It's just weak. It's weak verbiage, right? Like, it doesn't move the needle in the conversation. Just go straight to the point of how you can help. More bold communication. Anyone I've ever hired, by the way, is probably somebody who followed up with me 4 to 5 times about something I needed. That's just crazy to think about, right? But that's just the way that it goes. And if you're in the mindset of thinking like, oh, I'm going to sound desperate or annoying, then you are letting yourself down and your ethical and moral obligation, like what Tim is talking about. If you have the solutions, you're a good fit, you're a cultural fit, your core values are aligned, you're excited about it, everything is going great, then it is your obligation to follow up because they need you. And again, just to touch again on Tim, what he was saying about with attention span, if you guys think that it was bad, you know, a year ago, 6 months ago, I believe it's gotten significantly worse as of right now. Like, I can do a call with somebody. I ordered breakfast this morning, got home, was like trying to make breakfast. And my assistant was like, you ordered breakfast. I'm like, I don't even remember ordering breakfast. Like, it's just like right there on my DoorDash, whatever. I couldn't believe it. It was my tropical smoothie. But we're all just moving so quickly and our attention span isn't there. So maybe let that empower you. Like, okay, if we're dealing with low attention spans, let me just slide in here and follow up repeatedly, because they're going to see it. Maybe they've already left your message on read on LinkedIn, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, they don't like me. They're not going to reach out to me. No, they're just busy and they have a short attention span. So do it again and do it again, you know, until somebody says no, and then still do it.
Well, here's just some stats for you, because we have the stats of helping thousands of people. Most people, when you send an initial message on LinkedIn, they read your messages and don't respond. Did you know 77% of people on LinkedIn, you have to typically follow up one time? Something as simple as, hey, Christina, bumping this to the top of your inbox. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I meant to do that. Because here's what happens more times than not. They read your message and then they have to, you know, someone calls them, right? They're going to a meeting. They're at lunch, right? This is just what happens, right?
Yep.
So, hey, we wanted just to provide you with some practical tips today. So let's kind of recap. Number one, how to get people to see you as a good fit, whether before the interview or during the interview. Number one, we're talking about during the interview. You have to understand the company's needs, right? You need to ask them, what are they looking for? What are the challenges? Where's the opportunity? And then you have to, number two, align your skills and experience with exactly what they're looking for by, number three, showcasing, right, through metrics and prior results, how we can help them, clearly articulating that. If you are not able to do one, two, and three, you're going to get beat out by everyone at your level. So maybe you just need help learning how to convert interviews to offers. Go to execupgrades.com/podcast. We have an interview certification program that helps you with this. And number four, how do I get to see me as a good fit? You have to build a strong personal brand on LinkedIn. You have to get known. You have to put your accomplishments, your achievements, have a professional picture, right? There's headhunters and recruiters we have statistical data that says, I think 9.6% of people who are hired through our program here at ECU, after we optimize their LinkedIn profile, they eventually get hired, right? 9.6% of the time, because a headhunter or a recruiter finds them, right? Because we updated their profile and we made it more easily searchable. Right? So these are things you need to do, right? Because here's the thing, blaming the market does nothing. Blaming companies does nothing. Blaming people does nothing. Hey, it's your, right? These are problems that you have and you have to overcome. Any closing comments, Christina?
Yeah, that's just extreme ownership, what Tim explained. If you're going to be somebody who gives up or blames the market or blames somebody, oh, nobody likes me, they're not responding, it's the market, no one's going to answer me. That's just lack of extreme ownership over your results. So if I'm going to leave you with something today, I've been in a very hardcore mindset headspace with everybody. So I'm just being really frank with you guys. Extreme ownership looks like following up, making sure you have that great brand that front loads all that information, having very strong communication skills, and then not giving up, because you might hear a lot of no's. You might bomb a lot of these conversations before it actually happens for you. But the more you sit back and blame others, then you're wasting time and then you're losing money. And if you're looking to make, I don't know, 150 grand a year, how much money are you losing every day blaming other people? And so if that sounds like something you might be doing, definitely book a call with our team, because you don't have to do this alone. Sometimes it's as simple as planning. That's all that it is planning very, very carefully to take all of the guessing out of the process. So looking forward to hearing from you guys. And I know this is a scary topic for some people, because it's interviewing. Okay. I've never met one person so far that's like, I love interviewing. I'm great at interviewing. I can definitely sell myself. I'm ready to go in here and crush this. I'm confident that I can make this decision maker believe that I'm the one. I just don't hear this. Even from amazing people, I don't hear it. So just know that you're not alone. Know that you can get a plan. Know that you can get help. And it can be simpler than you might think.
All right, everyone. Until next week, have a great week. We're approaching halfway through the year this year. So as always, hey, if you are looking for a new role, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.